Leading the world's, or leading the largest delegation to visit Australia from the world's smallest country, Guillaume Rose, President of the Monaco Government Tourism and Convention Authority, spoke to Graham Kemlow about what he described as quote, a marketing decision in the 19th century to host the wealthiest on the planet, unquote.
I'm speaking with Guillaume Rose, who is from Monaco, and who's effectively... Are you the tourism minister for Monaco?
I'm the equivalent of the tourism minister, yes.
Right. So you obviously have a great passion for this place, the second smallest principality on the planet, I understand.
Definitely. Monaco is the second smallest state because the Vatican is not considered as a country. So we are the smallest country and the second smallest state.
And it's 2 kilometers square, is that right?
That's exactly that, 2 kilometers square, facing the sea. And we've got something like 120 square kilometers of sea in front of us. That's why we grow up by building on the sea.
Oh, okay. So you've reclaimed a little bit of land along
Let's
the way.
Let's say that we, since the 60s, we reclaimed 40% of our territory on the land.
So Singapore is doing something similar. You're not on your own there, and that's a good move.
That's very true, because Singapore has the same issues as we had regarding land. Of course, they are much more, but their place is much bigger, too.
Mm. So for people who've not been there, is it a high-rise destination or not?
Let's say that Monaco is a small country, very typical of Europe, with the European art de vivre. And as we were so small, the way we had at the beginning, the middle of the 19th century, the way we had to grow, because we are very poor, was to determine our segment. Monaco has been a marketing decision, in fact, at the 19th century. We decided to host the wealthiest of the planet and to give them the best entertainment, the best music, the best dancers, the best gastronomy, the best hotels. At that time, we opened the best hotel in the world, which was Hotel de Paris, first hotel in the world to have a bathroom in each room, which was at that time, of course, the epitome of luxury.
Mm. No, it's interesting how the principality has grown. The family is still very much connected to life in Monaco, right?
One of the other particularities of Monaco is that we have the same family reigning for 725 years, which is a record, of course. And the Grimaldi family is Monaco, and Monaco is the Grimaldi family, which means that our princes, or the royal family, they just walk in the streets like us, they just know us, we live among them, they're part of any party in Monaco of importance, and we have close relationship with them. Everybody loves them in Monaco, and we have a very cool and relaxed...
So I was going to say, it's not like meeting the Queen of England. It's much, much more relaxed, is it, in Monaco?
We can say that. Of course, with the respect that
yes.
we owe them,
yeah.
and nobody will show a lack of respect to them. But apart from that, yes, they are part of everyday life.
Well, it just sounds fantastic. Now, tell me... you've got a number of interesting tourism activities in Monaco. They were mentioned here last night at the event that I attended, the soiree. And so, obviously, major events are one of the areas that you are interested in terms of building profile and generating tourism dollars. You mentioned, I think, a big rowing championship, the tennis, obviously the Grand Prix. We share some of those things in common. What's coming up for you over the next few months in Monaco?
Of course. First, I would like just to tell you that it's a tradition that we established, as I said, at the beginning of the 19th century. We had to organize a lot of events. So right now, in 2016, Monaco organized 700 events, not Whoa. Less than that, an average of 2 events a day. For example, the Grand Prix is an event. We've got an international racing tournament in terms of horse also, in terms of football, soccer, of course, but also all the cultural events. We've got a huge calendar of cultural events. So to come, very interesting, in February, we are going to organize the first international exhibition for cars dedicated to renewable energies, but on a high, very high scale. This has been made by the guy who organized the Salon de Paris, the Paris exhibition, the number one in terms of cars. And we are going to make the bet that our city is going to become a salon. by itself. So all right. in all the city, yep. it will be open air exhibition.
It's interesting. The city seems to tolerate being shut down. Like the Grand Prix obviously shuts the whole city. Now, here in Melbourne, some of us complain a little bit about the fact that the traffic is affected by the Grand Prix at Albert Park. And if we're a bit higher up in Sofitel here, we could see Albert Park. It's not that far away. But if you live around there or if you work around there, it certainly there's probably a month before and 2 weeks before and after that disrupts a little bit. How do the Monégasques feel about this? They can't sort of walk down their street, maybe.
Then again, we come back to tradition. They invented the Grand Prix de Monaco in 1929.
Yeah.
And since 1929, Monégasques say no, that during 4 days, the city will be shut down. So they also realized that it was economically very important for them and in terms of image. We did the same for the yacht show, which is the biggest in the world. The yacht show we host in September, that is going to begin in 1 week. Mm-hmm. And we did the same right now for this open-air salon. We're very much used to it. So, of course, we've got to be smart. We've got to work closely with the police department. They close some streets. They open it at some times. It's very interesting to see the way it's managed.
Mm. Do you rely on France or on any neighbouring countries for any of your, water or power? Or what? How does it work? Because you are very small.
Of course. Definitely, our biggest challenge is space, finding space. Mm. So, of course, we rely on France to give us electricity and water. But when we say we rely, let's say that we've got a close relationship with France.
Mm.
You've got to know that a Monégasque is a guy of Italian culture, and not culture, I mean background,
yes.
And in a way, way of receiving people, it's much more Italian. But all our culture, precisely, is French. We speak French, mm. and we have a close relationship with France, without being French, which is very interesting.
Pardon my ignorance, but what currency do you use? Do you have your own currency?
We use a euro, and we have the right, the official right, to build our own euros sometimes. Not for the bills, of course, because yes. all the euro bills are the same.
Yes.
But the coins, we have Monégasque coins of euros, and some collectors, because of course we don't produce too much compared to France, Spain or Germany. So some collectors want to get our coins.
Fantastic. Now tell me, how big is Australia in your tourism marketplace?
It's a very big place. Australia and New Zealand are very important for us. Australia is number 9 and New Zealand is number 20. So it means that for us, Australia and New Zealand, we've got the same office for promoting our small and distant country in those two wonderful countries, are extremely important because Australian people are almost one of our best. They are excellent when it comes to gastronomy, when it comes to gambling, when it comes to nightlife, when it comes to shows. That's exactly what we love to have, the kind of tourist we love to have. And we've got a close connection to Australia since 10 years when we established diplomatic relationships. And our prince is very well acquainted with people from Australia and with the authorities. So, therefore, we've got, let's say, a very good relationship. And not to forget that, which is not the case in France and in Italy, nearly everybody speaks English in Monaco.
Right. And what sort of numbers of tourists do you get annually? You've only got 7,000 residents?
We've got 36,000 residents.
Oh, okay.
Including 9,000 Monégasque.
Right.
And our numbers are almost 6 million visitors a year.
Gee.
But when it comes to room nights, because as we don't have borders with France,
yes.
we can't control exactly who's in the territory. Of course, we can't have numbers about it. But we have numbers of the room nights. And in those room nights, we've got pretty much around 900,000, which is in which are included more than 25,000 Australian people.
Wow, that's good. And what about from a business tourism perspective? People coming for meetings or conferences or maybe incentive, I imagine, is big for you, to bring people and reward them with the night with the rich and the famous in Monaco.
We decided some years ago that what we gave for the rich and famous, as you mentioned, could be given to corporates. So we decided to design the best incentives. You've got to know that as the country is very small, you can walk inside it. Otherwise, we've got a bus service that is second to none. And people come, enjoy the facilities that have been designed for the billionaires. Mm. They can enjoy it for a very reasonable price, especially in winter, in our winter, which is, of course, from September to March.
Yep.
It's our peak season in terms of congresses and incentives. And usually, people who organize incentives in Monaco, 95% of the time, want to come back, organize another incentive, and we've got an incredible rate of returning people.
Gosh, I think I'm going to put that on my bucket list. That was Graham Kemlow speaking to Guillaume Rose of Monaco.
It was indeed, and he was an interesting character to talk to. He enlightened me quite considerably about Monaco. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.